Hello, welcome back to the Re-Up Podcast, your re-up on everything pop culture from the minds of 20-somethings. As usual, I'm your host, Greg, and as usual, we have our regulars, Dawson.
Hey.
And Deshaun.
Yo.
And before we begin, we'll remind everyone you can always find us at thereup-podcast.com, and you can find us on SoundCloud. Just look up the Re-Up Podcast and look for our logo. Now, this week, nothing too major happened, but Deshaun was telling me something before we started that I had never heard of, and it is the weirdest shit I've heard so far. Deshaun, what was you telling me about?
So, on TikTok, there's been an explosion of a certain content creator. Her real name is Jenna Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does she do? She is into puppy play.
Don't even make that sound. That doesn't sound right at all.
No. Listen. Jenna Phillips, pretty thick.
And that's the thing, people, is that she, you know, well endowed woman, you know, well endowed young lady. I believe it was that she was like an optician or something like that. You know, a well paying job, but she's decided to, you know, quit her job and do this full time.
But she quit her job.
She's making like $1 million a year or something like that.
Yeah, she makes over six figures off of her OnlyFans and TikTok alone. Now, you might be saying, like, okay, well, what content is actually happening here? If you don't know what puppy play is, it is when someone literally pretends to be a dog.
Mm.
And so there are videos of her and, I guess, her partner, you know, playing fetch and her going after the ball and picking it up with her mouth.
Hold on. Her partner's with this? Her partner's about this?
Yes. He's recording. He's the one recording.
Oh. And he's the one whose hand comes out and just like, you want to play fetch? Go get it.
Oh, my God.
And there's her most infamous video is they're at a food court or somewhere.
They're in a public place.
It's like a bowl. And he pulls out a bowl and pours water in it. And she licks water out the bowl on the floor.
What the fuck? This is some type of Burning Sands hazing. What is this?
And she's into it.
Oh, my God.
Hey, all I'm saying is, go, John. Go.
To quote her, she says, when it comes to pet play, the majority of girls do kittens, foxes, or rabbits, and the majority of puppies are men. I thought about it for a long time when I first got into pet play. I feel like a dog, so that's what I decided to be. Here's another quote. I thought, screw it. Why don't I create the market? I know there's a demand for it, so why don't I supply it? It's my full-time job. My revenue has increased 100 times since I moved to puppy play content. I'm making six figures monthly.
She used an actual smart business tactic of creating her own market in a market that didn't have it originally. But she's using it in such a bizarre manner. I don't know whether to be disgusted or impressed.
I'm impressed.
You know, I'm impressed for the hustle. Because
right, yeah, the hustle is just like...
The Re-Up Podcast respects the hustle.
Respect the hustle.
Look, she's not hurting anybody. I don't find it offensive at all. So I support it. She's not hurting anybody. People are getting their content. People are paying for whatever they want to. All I'm saying is, like, again, if you're paying for OnlyFans, you're a simp. But hey, I don't.
We established that last episode. Yeah.
But it's not like she's sitting here naked. She's acting like a dog. Like her content is clothed. Like she's not. She doesn't belong to the streets.
No.
Well, to me, she doesn't. She's only doing it with her partner.
And the thing is that. Oh, really? My thing is like I don't find what she's doing bad. It's just
It says something about society.
Yeah.
What have we come to?
Well, a person
acting like a dog gets paid more than most people.
More than most people. Yeah.
What does that say?
What does that say about us?
We're a failed species, and we need to be eradicated.
Oh, no, not a failed species. More of a failed civilization.
A failed species.
The human species.
The thing is that this isn't the first time this type of crap has happened in human civilization. The Romans, one of the best societies, civilizations that ever happened, what did they do? A bunch of degeneracy.
OG degeneracy. Oh, man.
Yes, Stone Age degeneracy.
So here's a question I have. Is she, and by extension, the people that pay and follow her, fairies?
Well, I think puffy play people would clearly, like, they would separate themselves from furries, yeah. But it can overlap.
It can overlap.
They can overlap. They're like two different things. But yeah, like,
I feel like they're different things. Like, because this is how I see it.
With puppy play,
it's kind of like they're acting like dogs in there, but they still see themselves as human, I think, or they, when they're doing puppy play, they see themselves as a dog. But when it's a furry, that's their fursona. And they're not dogs. They're humanoid animal creatures.
Okay, so hold on. Real quick, I just looked this up on Urban Dictionary. So this says, saying, there is no single definition of what a furry is. Even within the furry fandom, people cannot always agree on just what makes a person a furry or not. Some would argue that to be a furry, you must think and talk like one. I use furry specific words and phrases. Even if you go to conventions where a fursuit, draw the art, write stories, etc., but don't talk using furry lingo, you are not a furry. Wait, what the fuck is furry lingo?
Like
fursona,
fursona, yiffing.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Knots.
Oh, but that's... Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well...
We're going down a rabbit hole,
but in terms of that Urban Dictionary, I guess unless you're fully 100% committed, then it's not. That's a huge gray area, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, furries are weird because there, yeah. I know a lot of people that are furries, like, they like the art and, like, the content, but they would never dress up in a fursuit because they find that as, like, degeneracy.
Yeah.
So, like, it's weird because then you had to ask, what are you counting as a furry when it comes to art? Because, okay, I know some furries will say it's not all a sexual thing, and it's not, but there's an underlying sexual nature to the furry fandom. Just is.
Yeah.
There is no if, ands, or buts. There just is.
The intellectual says it's underlying sexual nature to everything, and that's on Freud.
And Freud is debated upon.
Yes. That's a whole nother rap.
But
of cocaine science. No, I'd like to call it.
Yeah. And so, like, with furries, it's weird because are you going to count a girl with cat ears as a furry? Now, some people do.
I believe that's called
a now there's that image of, like, the percentages, Neko, right? Yeah.
Oh.
There's, like, the image of the percentages, you know.
How far deep do you go?
0%.
You fall.
But then, like, after, you know, an anthropomorphized, like, animal, then you get into the territory which is not okay.
Right.
It's zoophilia.
The danger. The danger zone.
Even furries hate zoophiles because they're into bestiality. Like, no. Mm. It's not okay. But, like, furries, I don't think they're hurting anybody, so, like, it's fine.
Yeah,
but
they're fine, so they can do
that. That stuff has been seeping into our media.
Oh, it has. But, like, you got, what, recently, both Beastars and BHA, or BNA, whatever.
BNA. Yeah.
BNA.
Which are both good content, but at the same time, you're sitting down, and you're like, you're looking over your shoulder like, am I okay?
You're looking over there, I'm enjoying this, but am I supposed to?
Right, yeah.
Dad, I swear I'm not a furry.
But it's funny I didn't, there wasn't, maybe because we were younger, but it wasn't, like, that wasn't that type of, like, you weren't that hesitant when Zootopia came out.
That's because when Zootopia came out,
I knew some people that like Judy Hopps a little bit more than what they were supposed to.
I didn't. It wasn't until like later on, like maybe what Beastars, where I was looking over my shoulder, like, am I okay watching this shit?
But with Zootopia, it's obviously a kid's movie. Like, it's blatantly a kid's movie. Uh-huh. It has that kid aura. Like, it's like the same thing as like Finding Nemo or it's like Disney. Ratatouille or something.
But like, some people Disney. Say like, look at Judy Hopps. She's like a short stack.
No.
Oh God, I couldn't say that seriously. Almost bombed. But yeah, some people are like, damn.
But something like with Beastars.
Uh huh.
With Beastars, they have like human bodies. Like, most of them have like humanoid like bodies. Like Haru is thick and she has some titties. It's just there's no nipples on them, but she has some titties. Like, rabbits don't have titties like that. That like are that high on their chest. And like most of the animals are humanoid.
I'm gonna ask you to elaborate a tad bit more because it's the sus meter on Dawson is ticking.
Wait, no. Uh-huh, I don't know. Look, I'm just saying, like, that's why you have more of a feeling of when you watch Beastars, it's like you're watching, like, a furry show because it's like they're more human. Like, when you see a furry, it's not going to be some guy in, like, if he's like a deer or something, he's not going to have hooves. He's going to have hands, just like in Beastars. But in Zootopia, they had hooves and stuff like that and paws.
I feel like they had that in Beastars, too.
And?
No.
Like,
no.
They're still, like, relatively, you know, like, humanoid.
Yeah, they're
right.
Like,
yeah.
In Zootopia, no. They're more. They look like animals. They're just animals, like they're upright. Like when you look at the giraffes and stuff, they're super tall. And then
I know a bunch of people in the furry community that consider Zootopia as part of it.
Hmm.
But I guess that's why, because they showed Zootopia on like Disney Channel TV, and they show like trailers for it all over Zootopia and stuff like that. So it's like, all right,
people are like, ooh, time to get drawing.
Look,
but with Beastars, it just kind of showed up on Netflix one day.
Like, cause I'm gonna be real with y'all. I was watching BNA. Uh-huh. I just looked at Mitru and those little shorts, and I was just like,
oh no,
God bless. Oh. But I'm just like, I'm going to hell. God. Father, forgive me for my sins.
Now, in that show, there are humans and there are, what do they call them in the show? I forget. I can't remember.
Beastmen.
Beastmen, right. Beastmen. And it's that whole trope of, you know, kind of explaining civil rights and injustices, but in the fantasy version of animals versus humans, because they don't want to do base it on color, because that's a little too close to home for people. But in that show, they're humans and they're beastmen. But then the main character has been turned into a beastman. She's kind of living among them now and trying to, you know, unite shit, whatever. And it's good. Yeah, whatever. But it's funny for me when I'm watching that. I'm more captivated by it's the godness of Studio Trigger and how they can do. That's how you choreograph a good animated fight scene. Because Studio Trigger is just beautiful. Even if their story is shit, darling, the Franks, I'm talking about you. The show still looks good.
But with BNA, with the furry things,
because
I know plenty of girls out there who are fangirling over our boy Ugami, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
They're fangirling. But they're like, I don't know. I like both sides of them, the wolf and the human. I'm just like, I'm watching you.
I don't know. I'm. If we keep this going, I may have to title this some furry shit for this episode.
Wait. Okay, one last thing. Look, you have to think of it like this. If there was like another sentient creature that can consent, but they look like in animals. I'm pretty sure people would procreate with them, or try to at least. If they can consent to it.
But at the same time, racism would appear against them. And the thing is that what would happen is that all humans would stop hating each other because now there's something else for us to hate.
So exactly. So you're pulling an Ozymandias.
Yes, literally, that's what I think would happen is that, like, if something else was to show up that's different than us but sentient, we would literally just be like, the black people and the white people would just shake hands and be like, can we agree that we hate this thing more than each other?
You know, that's kind of like the ending to all, like, alien encounter movies, like Independence Day. Everyone got along afterwards because they're fighting the common threat. So,
yeah, it's a greater threat. Like, okay, say, for example, if aliens were to come down now and just start attacking, which would you rather deal with? We all try to fight this threat separately, or we just all join together and make one super, like, government and destroy it?
Yeah, because think about it this way. I would hate more the invading alien than my Make America Great Again neighbor who's been spouting racial slurs at me. I'm going to get along with him way quicker than I am.
We could come up with racial slurs against the new thing.
Exactly. But here's the thing. What if he's spouting racial slurs as he shoots the alien? He's like, come help me. Come help me. You, Blackie.
And that's when you gotta hit him back with that. That's right, you motherfucking cracker. We hate together.
That sounds like a clip off of like a new Boondocks episode. That's good writing.
That's funny.
This is how we unite the United States, dude. Pull an Ozymandias. Just drop an unknown threat in the center of the country.
Man, Ozymandias was right.
Have we talked about any Watchmen on here yet? I don't think so.
I don't know. It was just a conversation. I haven't seen the HBO series because I kind of refuse to watch it because I like the original. And I know that he didn't want the comic to continue after the thing. But DC was like, Watchmen makes a bunch of money. But he's like, so it's kind of not in continuity, but it is at the same time.
But as someone who's watched both, and I know Deshaun's about to snap bite my head off here, I liked the HBO. I think it has a good cast, really good acting, and it had a good twist for me at the end that I didn't see coming going into it. And the payoff wasn't as great. It kind of really went like it started off. The very first two episodes were like, holy shit, this world is kind of really cool and unique. And then it kind of drained down a bit, and then it kind of had this little spike at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Alan Moore's original creation.
I would agree with you that, like, the acting and the actors are fine. Like, the cinematography, all that is fine. I kind of agree with Dawson. Like, Watchmen ended on the note that it should have ended.
Alan Moore, when he wrote the last panel of, let me see, because I have it right here. Let me see. On the last panel of the guy with the buck teeth and the red hair, and he looks at the journal left by Rorschach, and he almost picks it up because it's under those two papers. That's where the Watchmen story ended. They shouldn't have made any before Watchmen, nothing afterwards. I don't even think what they should be doing, like the DC universe. It's cool and all, but it's kind of like this man wanted his this is a standalone. He wanted this standalone graphic novel to be it.
But the good thing about the show was, is that they really did that for the most part of the series. It was its own show, but it just happened to be in the Watchmen universe.
And not as, really.
I mean, later on, like about halfway through the series, you're like, okay, you get these main characters from the actual series are now into it. They're now involved. But when you first look at it, it's like, oh, cool. It just happens to be, but then they're kind of like, oh, well, it's a continuation.
I disagree with you, Greg. There's literally so much in the first episode that's relying on Watchmen lore, like background lore. And that's the thing is that, like, I feel like the show itself, what kind of drug it down with me was that, like, it was really bad social commentary. Now, the original Watchmen is a critique. It's woke for its time.
Uh-huh.
It's woke. And Alan Moore has stated that Rorschach is like a fucking racist, anti-Semite, like, horrible person. That's Rorschach for you. But then, like, when they throw in the idea, like, the police are, like, a Rorschach cult, the thing is that what Rorschach was reporting was 100% the truth. Who wouldn't believe that? Everybody knows that the giant space alien monster appeared in New York and killed everybody. Like, they're trying to make it seem like, oh, they're like a bunch of Alex Jones conspiracy theorists that, like, worship Rorschach. I was like, that wouldn't happen. Rorschach would be, like, the prophet of truth. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah,
Angela's a character.
But you mean, like you know,
Angela is.
But it is true that in history, when you have like something like that, their work is contorted and changed. Something that did, like that, something that wasn't supposed to work. Like
Marx, well, but they act like
Marx's two theories on communism turned out completely wrong when put in the hands of Lenin and Stalin.
Okay, but look at it like this. Look at it like this. The whole world should know that.
Yeah.
Not just these officers, not just this, like, cult of personality. The whole world should know what Rorschach reported. Like, it should be, whether it's contorted or not.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should know. And then, like, it felt like really bad social commentary. And, like, the best parts of it, I think, and personally, I think Angela's grandfather.
Yeah, well, I said the best part of
the Hood of Justice.
The Hood of Justice.
I think that was some good social commentary, and that was good, like, well done. But like the rest of it, I just felt like
that was my next thing.
It just felt kind of dumb, and like the way they did Ozymandias, like he's some old like space racist.
Look. I will always love Scar. Jeremy Irons, again, the acting wasn't the bad part about this show, because Jeremy Irons did an excellent job with Ozymandias, and that was what I was getting to, that her grandfather, the Hood of Justice, whole arc and his story and her having those flashbacks and going back in time and all the thing about him was really good. That was probably my favorite part of the show. Yeah. But that's why I kind of trailed off at the end, because the biggest threat, his supposed daughter, and then the end goals for people was kind of dumb.
Yeah,
and how to try to resolve itself was done, because then it was just.
I like how, you know, like the big spoiler about Dr. Manhattan and all where he was and all that. I like that.
Yeah.
Now people are saying. Why is Dr. Manhattan black? I was just like, Dr. Manhattan could be any race that he wants.
Right, that didn't matter. That wasn't.
He's a god. He's a god entity. It doesn't matter. If he wants to be black, white, well, I mean, like, his original race, he was Jewish, but, like, you know, still, like, he wants to be black.
That's not a race, though.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, okay.
He was like some guy.
Some white Jewish guy.
Right.
Well,
some white guy.
Yeah. I mean, like, people were making a controversy out of that. Well, a non-controversy, in my opinion. And I'm just like, well, the thing is that, like,
that's a new one.
The thing is that, like, Dr. Manhattan's a god entity. He literally can appear that's whatever he wants to be. If he wants to be your next door neighbor, he could.
Right.
But overall, I give the show like a 6 out of 10.
It
helped me. It helped me, but it just, I felt like original Watchmen just should have been left alone.
If you're looking for something else on HBO, at least I would recommend Chernobyl. That's a good miniseries.
Yeah, Chernobyl. Now that's good.
Now that's gripping.
Yeah, that's like an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 in my book. Because nothing ever gets a 10 out of 10. Because nothing's perfect.
What?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing gets a 10 out of 10 on my scale.
Nothing gets a 10 out of 10 on your scale. Okay, now I'm trying to think that what some things that I give a 10 out of 10.
What have I feel like I'm giving some stuff a 10 out of 10. Dungeons and Dragons as a game. I'm joking.
What? No.
My homebrew of Dungeons and Dragons is a 10 out of 10.
Because
I get rid of all the bull crap that they put.
Now I'm trying to think what have I given a 10. What, Dawson, what have you given a 10 out of 10?
I'm thinking. What's a 10 out of 10 anything?
Exactly. Nothing.
The Ed and Eddie Big Picture Show is a 10 out of 10 movie.
What? I don't even remember.
There's no flaws in it.
What?
There's no flaws. I can't think of one. It has a really good ending.
I gave Steven Universe
no flaws. I gave the edge. Oh, go ahead.
I gave Steven Universe the movie a 9 out of 10, but most of my highest scoring is because I love that soundtrack, and I'm very partial to music.
Let's be real, because that movie's kind of buns.
Yeah, it's kind of boring until the singing starts and the fighting.
In the fight,
but besides that, it's kind of boring.
Steven Universe, I can talk Space Hitler out of committing genocide against Earth.
I can talk anybody out of genocide.
The old universe charm, yep.
Hey, Yellow Diamond, I don't think you should kill all humans.
All right.
You're right.
You guys would be nice.
You know, I'll apologize, you know.
I'm gonna fix everything.
No, that wasn't even why. The reason why, because wait a minute, he's one of our higher elites. He actually does have a voice now. Because if he was just a regular court reporter, they still wouldn't have listened to him.
That's bad writing.
The only reason why they listen to him is because Pink Diamond. Okay, maybe we should actually listen.
Okay, think about it like this. That's like if Naruto, say Naruto, was fighting Neji. And then he's like, you know who my dad is? And Neji's like, what? My dad was the fourth Hokage. You know, Naruto, I think you're right. And why are we fighting?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Your father was that. So that makes you absolutely right because of your status.
That's basically what happened between Naruto and the actual random people of the Hidden Leaf. Because after they found that out and shit. Oh, sorry. After they found out and after, like, he quote-unquote beat Pain.
They were like, what? Oh. You're the son of the fourth Hokage. Sorry for all the bad treatment.
Like, all the bad treatment and traumatization, which wasn't really a lot anyway. It's over. We don't. It's all in the past.
It's that performative wokeness, Greg.
Also, I don't think Naruto's childhood wasn't all that as traumatizing as he always brings it out. They always cut back to that one scene
that swing
on that swing.
That was a traumatizing time.
Oh my god!
You hear the music, the freaking doo doo doo.
Sadness and sorrow. But can we get back to Ed and Eddie being a perfect movie? Ed and Eddie Big Picture Show?
Look, I can't.
I don't know, man. Like, the Eds brutally deal with all of their quote unquote friends, the cul-de-sac kids. Like, they fucking demolished them just to get to Eddie's brother.
Look, they demolished them at the beginning. That's the reason why they had to leave, because we don't know what the big scam was, but the scam, it was devastating. And so they had to leave. They had to get out of there. They had to
skip town. I give the Batman the animated series a 10 out of 10. That show is great.
Nah.
Man, no.
It gets a 9 out of 10 still.
The reason why is because... Yeah, it gets a 9 out of 10. Just basically because of the comics, because it's kind of canon now. Because Batman had a child... Well, not a child. An impregnated Batgirl.
Because of that, you give it 9.
And that made Nightwing leave.
Most of the modern continuity that people know comes out of that show.
I give it a whole 9 out of 10 because of the art.
It gets a 9 out of 10
halfway through.
Because Harley Quinn.
It gets a 9 out of 10. It gets a good 9 out of 10, but not a 10 out of 10. And then any big part shows the perfect movie.
I haven't
heard any complaints against it. And then any big picture show is a perfect movie, and I haven't had any complaints against it.
And then the Batman animated series spawns Batman Beyond, which is another good show.
That doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean it's a 10 out of 10.
You know, my argument against the big picture show is that I don't remember it, so it can't be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean anything. It's a really good movie.
If I can't remember it, then
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I haven't seen fucking Blue's Clues in years, but I remember it.
You remember clips of it. You can't tell me a full episode now, can you?
Yes, I can.
All right,
tell us what Steve is doing today.
No, promise you. I remember it was the episode.
God damn it.
Everyone remembers the episode when Steve leaves for college and he gives the handle over to Joe.
What happened in the episode?
What?
We just got a letter.
Besides that, because that was the beginning of the episode.
That was a full episode. That was the whole thing about the episode.
Wonder who it's from.
What happened in it? What happened, Greg? Did you remember the whole TV show? Because it was so good.
All right, so I'll throw out an episode of Blue's Clues. So Steve, you know, he's doing his thing, and Blue is like, boo, boo, boo. And Steve is like, we just got a letter.
You can't just give us
a letter. We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from. Okay, and he opens it up, and it's his parents, and they're telling him, Steve, we're tired of paying your rent. Cut off the lights. No. And he swallows. He's like, oh, it looks like it's from my parents. And then the lights go out, and Boo is like, boo, boo, boo. What's happening, Steve?
You can remember episodes of SpongeBob that you haven't seen in years.
Yeah, I remember that one episode where SpongeBob was like, he stood behind Sandy with the axe, just contemplating, you know, caving in her skull.
Is that the one where she's asleep? And it's like, yeah, they get trapped in there for winter?
No, she's asleep, and SpongeBob's just looking over her, just like wanting to like pull a Yoshikage Kira, just wrap his hands around her. I love destroying people's childhood.
But being able to remember things does attribute to whether it's good or not. Because it's called a lasting effect.
Well, it has a lasting effect on me because I remember the whole movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that could be a 10 out of 10 in your experience.
Yeah, it could be. I guess.
It's a 10 out of 10. And they also gave the black kid a watermelon on his head. So.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Is Johnny Black?
Yes, Johnny's black.
Look, this is I've heard team. Arguments.
What argument have you heard that he isn't?
I mean, like, some black people that I know say it's offensive because, you know, like, the mellow head thing and all that. But I was just like, come on, y'all all know that black kid. We all know that kid. Who had the mellow head. Let's be real. We all knew that kid.
Johnny is black.
Head. With the fucked up head, and we were all like, boy, about to get on that ass. Look at that.
No white kid has a head like Johnny. No one. None.
Exactly.
No white kid has a head like Johnny. So Johnny is black. He's just the weird kid.
Yeah, he's the weird kid.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I wonder what Plank was saying, dude. Plank was like,
Kill them all, Johnny.
What was that, Plank?
Johnny, I need you to siphon their souls from their noses. So I may.
You guys all.
It's feeding time. It's feeding time, Johnny. It's feeding time, Johnny. What do you think all the parents are?
Oh no!
Plank absorbed their souls. Dude, Plank is like an interdimensional, like demonic deity trying to like manifest in the real world.
Okay, so also, I would have said Samurai Jack was a 10 out of 10, but you have to deal with the fifth season. And the fifth season is okay.
Well, I mean, like, there's some rough parts in the beginning, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When it's trying to, like, find itself.
Yeah, when it's first starting out, okay, yeah.
Not 10 out of
10. Yes. Jack, you see, I ordered
Avatar.
Extra thick.
I had a lot of filler early in book one, so.
Yeah, but
its filler
good.
Was good.
Yeah, the filler, I didn't not like any episode. Like, all the episodes are actually pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, there are some episodes where either Katara was getting on my nerves.
Yeah, I told
you. Oh, yeah.
Some episodes where Aang got on my nerves.
You know, he's the Avatar. Yeah, we know. Katara, fuck.
Yeah.
And then Aang is like, why doesn't Katara like me?
Listen, I know it's 10 out of 10. Avatar season 3, 10 out of 10. Yes. It is 10 out of 10. There's nothing wrong with season 3. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Name one thing wrong with season 3.
He didn't kill the Fire Lord.
Oh my gosh, that was...
Look. That was cool. The only reason why it's not 10 out of 10, he didn't kill the Fire Lord.
I mean, I didn't like the beach episode. God,
that was like one of my favorite episodes.
I love that episode.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
There's only so because there's only so much Azula I can take. Oh my God. There's only so much Azula I can take. There's only so much bad shit crazy I can.
Azula is like the best character. I freaking love her.
All right, great.
Y'all just don't know how to handle it, Azula.
Tell me this: if you were born Fire Nation nobility, you know you're raised in the royal court.
There's no
and Azula took a liking to you and was like, we can rule this country together.
Oh, you wouldn't, we're ruling. Tell this me you wouldn't together.
Say no.
Oh my!
I would not want you to be playing with me because I know that's not what she's like. Fuck.
Please,
Azula. She's like, she's 100% for real. She's like, you know, I'll just be like the demon fire queen, and you'll be like my right hand man.
Well, then I'll be like, bet you. Let's do it.
Yeah, Azula, I'll be like, bet this world could get scorched together.
Exactly. Let's go, Azula. Let's go. Let's go right now. Already.
We're committing war crimes against. I bet I'm committing war crimes against the Earth Kingdom any day for you, B.
Oh my
god! Exactly.
See, that's what you have to be wrong though, because you assume there's no way I'm being born a firebender.
No.
That like.
Nah, I'll probably be an earthbender.
Yeah, I'd be an earthbender.
At the rarest point, I would be an airbender, but I'm almost like 100% waterbender. Like, there's no way I'm anywhere near.
Did I be an earthbender boy?
Exactly. I would be a
fucking fight the boulder.
Yeah, just trying to hit the boulder.
Do the fucking the sumo stomp. Ooh. And pushing like, up walls.
At the off chance an bowling. Airbender, but for like a good 80%, I would most likely be a waterbender.
Now say you die and you get reincarnated to the Avatar universe, but it's the M. Night Shyamalan Avatar movie. What no! type of bender would you want to be?
Okay, no, do I know? Do I automatically know it's the M. Night Shyamalan universe?
Yeah, no. Like you know you're coming in.
Nah, I'm offering myself and hoping for a different universe. Nah, I'm hopping universes. I don't want to be in. I know. No.
But no, like if you had like so the bending powers of that universe, like the rules of the bending powers in that universe. So like earthbenders, it requires like you know eight people to like move like a pebble, one pebble. Firebenders require fire to bend fire.
Waterbenders have to do a bunch of movement just to do a little splash.
Right, little it's splash. Not even like quick movements.
And it's a airbenders, bunch. Airbenders cannot even fly with their air.
They glide.
They only like glide. Yeah. It's yeah.
That.
So which one would you choose?
Can I off myself and hope for a different universe?
Like, no,
man, I'll just be a non. At that point, I'll just be a non-bender.
I'll
just
be a non-bender.
I'll invent the gun because a gun can still stop those fuckers. Let's be real.
Exactly.
I don't like I. You well, know, in real Avatar, I think like a you know a gun would be useless. But like in the M. Night Shyamalan verse, if I pull out a 9mm, it's over.
God, imagine like dropping like an Aaron Black in the Avatar universe. He would just kick ass because everyone's stopping. Unless yes, like, you get the advanced earthbender.
Does he have
that will stop the bullet? But like,
does he have infinite ammo?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he would just like destroy everybody.
I mean, like, no, but like, the earthbenders could stop the metal, right? Well, metal benders could.
But well, yeah, you know how long that took to get there.
They can't stop like legs.
Really had to concentrate on that. To it took her one
book.
To it.
It took her like half a book, right?
Well, that's because she's like an earthbending like prodigy.
Prodigy, yeah, she's like. Okay. A
you know how many earthbenders came before her? Centuries.
Couldn't metal bend. They thought it was impossible.
Well, also, and then, no, wait, also because they just started using metal by Avatar, right? Their industrial revolution didn't happen until Legend of Korra, right?
Well, no, because their industrial revolution, the Fire Nation literally has tanks.
Oh, well, the
Fire Nation. Yeah, that is true.
Airships.
Yeah. They have airships.
They had
clad iron navy vessels.
Oh, yeah, they did. So
The
Fire Nation was advanced. Everyone else was...
Well, that's because they have the resources, because, you know, they're like volcanic islands, so like there's a lot of like metal deposits and stuff, which makes sense.
But
Earthbenders never really had a need to advance technologically, because, you know, they could build their house out of bending.
True. But the Earth Kingdom was pretty advanced, though, too.
Actually, yeah, Earthbending was really useful.
Yeah, Ba Sing Se was... Dude, cool. Even Iroh couldn't get through there.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of earthmen.
No, I know he probably could have. His son just died, and so he was like, I quit.
I have no more energy for this bullshit. I'm done.
Low-key, I really wanted to see Iroh versus his brother. Like, I always wanted to see that.
You know what I want to see? I want to see an animated King Boomy versus Toph.
King Boomy.
Yeah, I want to see King Boomy in his prime and older Toph in her prime from like Korra Toph. Because like
the police captain.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that was in her prime. I'm pretty sure she was clapping everybody that came through. Just clapping, waxing.
Toph always wins because she got the whole metal bending thing. Boomy had what? The crystals?
Bro, just imagine metal bending nowadays, dude. Like, I have like a metal retainer in my mouth, dude. Like, someone could just literally just rip that shit out of my mouth, dude. Like, and destroy my flesh. Like, oh! Just like
Magneto's like that.
That's just scary, dude.
Now, I think we did talk about this. It's not enough iron in the body to control the body, right?
No, there's not enough iron to control the body, but there's probably like enough iron to make like a
small ball, maybe
a blood clot, maybe like you clog an artery or something.
Yeah, you could like make someone have a heart attack.
Jeez,
like it's dangerous. Like it shouldn't be allowed.
God, someone's braces just yank them.
Yeah, just imagine, someone's braces just yank like just all of them out their mouth. Just
I'm fucked. I got two rods down my back. I'm screwed. That's gonna. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's your ass.
Dude, Magneto's just gonna bend you in half like a mattress, dude. He's gonna fold you. Just
won't even make me. I wouldn't walk again.
He would do it with no sweat. Nothing.
That shit's fused to my spine. I would be dead.
Exactly. He's just gonna say yoink. God, he's gonna get folded up into a ball.
Folded. Okay, so like, okay, you over there with the pacemaker, your heart stops. Oh, you got that hip replacement? I'm taking that. Like Magneto would tear through like an old person's home.
I mean, and not to mention that one time where he's just like, you know what? I can also manipulate the magnetic pulse. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna flip the earth. And flooded everybody. Like, because, the motion of the earth flipping upside down sent the oceans yanking over all the land concerts.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Magneto.
If you really wanted to, you could, like, pull a Chibaku Tensei with the moon and just pull that bad boy down. You know how many minerals, metals, and all sorts of crap is on the moon? Yo. Like, I'm pretty sure he could grab it just like...
Yo.
Magneto's an Omega-level mutant.
Magneto pulling a Madara... In the next, I need to see that. Because we were all like amazed back in, what was it, X-Men 3 when he lifted the
Golden Gate
Bridge. We were all sitting down like, oh my gosh. But like, nah. Whoa. That, if he pulled out the moon, because that makes sense.
And then like, people forget that his power is magnetism. Right. So there's a lot more to it that he could do. Manipulate light. Or stuff like that, and like on a whole nother level, like he was able to like pick up Thor's hammer because he manipulated the magnetic field around it, so where he wasn't technically touching it, but he was still using it.
That's the thing. I like the MCU because it's witty. Because there was a scene I think after the Age of Ultron where they're arguing about. So if Thor puts down the hammer in an elevator and the elevator goes up, the elevator's worthy?
No.
I think it has to be sentient.
It has to be sentient?
Yeah, it has to be sentient. So that's why, what's his name?
Vision.
He's able to pick it up because he's not even a real person.
Ah.
That's you're not a real person. That you have no right.
What do you think is worthy?
I mean, a lot of people are worthy according to the comic books.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Iron Man should be worthy. Isn't it like if you're righteous? Or something like that.
So it's flying. Yeah. So it's flying Nimbus rules.
And then also, not to mention, you're being held to Norse standards of worthy.
What are Norse standards of worthy?
Exactly. What are Norse standards of worthy? I don't know. They were like, yes, they were farmers. They had like their peaceful times, but they were also like a pretty heavy warrior culture that invaded the Isle of England, which you'll be Hulk playing in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But
so Hulk should be able to.
I mean, he has.
Probably not Hulk, but Bruce Banner. Perfect. Because Hulk is kind of just...
I thought Hulk has lifted Thor's hammer before.
I don't think he has. I know Red Hulk technically lifted it when he threw Thor into space and then carried his hammer in space and then hit him with his hammer while he was still holding it. Red Hulk did that, which is freaking cool. Maybe I think that Spider-Man could lift it.
Really?
I mean, I think Spider-Man probably, he's pretty worthy.
But Spider-Man's done some shitty things.
Like what, Greg?
If Captain America can pick it up.
Yeah, he kissed his kissed his late girlfriend whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Superior. I'm thinking of Superior Spider-Man. That doesn't count.
Yeah, Superior Spider-Man doesn't count. The only thing that he did like that I could think of like that's wrong was when he sold his daughter in marriage away to the devil.
So he could get his identity.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he could bring Aunt May back, her old decrepit ass.
She couldn't even wish her younger. Like, I want her back at
this age.
At 89. She's always
old age. And she died from a gun wound, but she died peacefully, I guess. Like, she's dead.
That's my thing, is like, anybody in the MCU should know, why are you making deals with Mephisto? Peter should know, the last dude who made a deal with Mephisto has a flaming skull and is cursed forever to walk.
And he knows Ghost Rider. He knows him.
He knows Ghost Rider.
And he's still, bring Aunt May back, please.
I'm just like, dog. If you really wanted to do that, like, you could have went to Doctor Strange or something.
Exactly. I thought he did go to Doctor Strange for something else, though.
Doctor Strange probably said,
I think he went for him.
He was like, no, this is a bad idea. Bring people back.
He went for Mephisto to get May back, but he went for Doctor Strange to get his identity wiped from everybody, right?
I thought that was part of the Mephisto deal.
Part of the Mephisto deal?
You're trading your future for everything that you had in the past. And so, like, that included his identity, but that means his marriage disappears. That means his unborn child. Gone.
To bring back Aunt May's old ass.
I mean, like, he got his identity back after that.
Was that the Civil War storyline?
That was after Civil War.
He joins Iron Man, and, like, in the press release, he reveals he's Spider-Man, and then, like, immediately afterwards, everything goes wrong.
Everybody's like, oh, you Peter Parker, time to go after your loved ones.
Right! I was like, wait a minute. That's just so bad.
That was the stupidest thing ever. Why did Spider-Man do that? Well, maybe if I give my secret identity out.
Because Iron Man did it, and it was fine for him. Plus, he's rich.
Iron Man's rich.
And man, no one's coming after Tony Stark. But you fucking lame ass Peter Parker. Oh, your ass is grass.
Exactly. That's the thing, is that like Spider-Man's dealing with like hood rat villains, like some low tier scum. They don't care. They're coming for your family.
The kingpin is going out. Iron Man, the Mandarin,
Mandarin doesn't care.
Exactly. Yes. He doesn't care about his secret identity. I'm going to hurt your loved ones. No. Peter Parker has some scummy ass kingpin as Hammerhead as Dr. Negative as Venom as people like.
That just like are willing to come after your family.
They don't hate, like, it's not like with Iron Man. They hate Iron Man. No, they hate Peter Parker's guts. They hate Spider Man with all their might. Like,
they do.
They hate that man so bad. That exactly. Like, they made a whole team just to beat him.
All right.
Exactly.
So we're running out of time real quick. It's gonna go to our ending debate, and to keep it on the motif. What's his name, Bob? Which one thing is the best Spider-Man? You had Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and you have Tom Holland. Who do you think?
All right. Okay. There's different answers for this.
Start, because I have Andrew Garfield as the best Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire as the best Peter Parker, and then what's his name? Tom Holland has a good mixture of both, but he's not that good overall.
All right.
But
he's all right. This is.
I would agree.
This is what I'm gonna say. Ready? So this is this. So Tobey Maguire as the best six. Look. So this is how it is. So Tobey Maguire is the best 616 Spider-Man.
Oh no! Not the.
He's the best 616 Spider-Man.
You can't. Oh,
listen,
my goodness.
Look, he's the best 616 Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Now, and then Andrew Garfield, he is the best. This is weird. He's the best mixture of Ultimate and 616 Spider-Man.
Now you're gonna have to explain this, because look, my mom listen to this.
So 616 is the main Marvel universe. That's where Peter Parker is a broke ass living on his own. by himself superhero. And he doesn't go to high school because he's already graduated like he did in the first movie. And he's living on his own. He's older. Because he had a job. Most of the 616 universe, the original Spider-Man universe, the one that Steve Ditko and freaking Stan Lee, they wrote together, that was the 616. And then so Ultimate Universe is the universe that they created. I forgot the name of who created the whole Ultimate Universe, but him. And it's like a revamp of it. And that's what I think that Tobey Maguire is. He's a good Peter Parker for that universe, for the Ultimate Universe. He's a good Peter Parker for that one. And this is going to sound weird, but Tom Holland is the best live-action Miles Morales.
What?
Yes.
He is the best live-action Ultimate Universe Miles Morales.
Because Tom Holland is literally just Miles Morales.
He's literally just Miles Morales. Like, it's just Miles Morales. It's literally his story. Look, if you think of it like this. So, Miles Morales was a young kid who got bit by a radioactive spider while his mentor was still, like, not his mentor, but while the superhero that he looks up to is still the superhero. And he ends up dying. So people are going to talk about how he needs to take up the mantle. He also gets his suit from S.H.I.E.L.D. or the big agency, which they both did. They both did not create their, they both didn't make their suit. And they both got like this beat down Halloween looking costume as their first suit. They also have a friend, Genki or Ned, depending on which Spider-Man it is. And they also both go to a private school for science or whatever, which Miles Morales did first. And now you can say, well, they just wanted to, because we didn't want to see the same thing. Well, it's still just Miles Morales at that point. Hmm. And Tobey Maguire, he was the good 616 Steve Ditko, because he was a middle-aged kid, not middle-aged kid, but he's a young adult. He lives on his own. You get your money when you fix this damn door. Like, he lived on his own. He didn't have Aunt May was still there, but he didn't live with Aunt May. Just like he was broke. He lived with money problems. And then the Ultimate Spider-Man is it was just like what's his name? Andrew Garfield. Like, he, most of the movies that he's in high school, even though he graduated in the second movie, he was in high school like for the whole first movie. And the first part of the second movie, it was basically the summer vacation. The only thing is, like, they kind of switched it because it's weird, because Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield kind of switched the girlfriends that they have first based on the universe that I just explained with the Ultimate Universe. Because in the Ultimate Universe, Mary Jane was his first girlfriend, but in the 616 universe, Gwen Stacy was his first girlfriend. But that's like pretty much the only difference. So that's why they're completely different. All three are different Spider-Men. But my favorite is your boy
MTV.
My favorite is your boy MTV. That's a good one. But my favorite Spider-Man is Spectacular Spider-Man, because that is the best iteration of Spider-Man ever, because he is freaking cool.
I disagree. Peter B. Parker from Spider-Verse. That is my favorite, because I relate to him on a spiritual level. I'm depressed. I'm sad. And I cry in the shower at night.
With the
Spider-Man suit on.
Though I remember MTV had one of my favorite episodes with Electro.
That episode was pretty good.
That was a really good
episode. I remember that episode.
Mm-hmm. I think I could go find that on YouTube somewhere. But, I mean, that's a side tangent. That's also the end of our episode. I thank everyone for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. As always, you can find us at TheReUp-Podcast.com and on SoundCloud. Just look up The ReUp Podcast, look for our logo, and we're right there. Thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.